Evelyn, what is your thoughts on book talk?
Man, that. This is pros and cons.
Welcome back, everyone. I'm Sophia, your co-host of Pros and Cons and co-president of ESA.
And I'm Evelyn, the other both of those things that Sophia said. And today we have a really special guest, Allie.
Hi, I'm Allie. I am a film PhD candidate at Laurier and a big old nerd about fan fiction.
Wonderful. We love to see it.
We love that. So, Allie, on every episode, also known as the one episode we've done before, we do a little thing on what media we're watching, we're reading, we're listening, whatever you want. So, Allie, what are you doing any of those right now?
My sister and I just got our brother-in-law to watch, my brother-in-law, her husband, to watch Avatar The Last Airbender for the first time. And, you know, as a 30-something-year-old man, he still loved it. So, you know, the longevity and, you know, influence of Avatar The Last Airbender lives on.
I love Avatar The Last Airbender. I used to watch it with my dad and my brother. I've watched all of that one. I've watched The Legend of Korra.
Yeah.
I love it.
Me too. I love it. I love any like children's media that like actually trusts the audience to be able to handle like big themes like full-blown genocide and stuff. So yeah, it's still relevant, still beautiful today.
Incredible. I love that. Sophia, what are you watching, reading, listening?
I am currently reading the second volume of Heartstopper. I love how fast you can read them. It's a little 2-hour break in between my really, really long articles for class.
And there's less words.
And there's more pictures. There's way more pictures.
Have you read Heartstopper before, or is this your first time?
I've read the first volume.
Okay.
Yeah.
So you're just continuing. Okay. Yeah.
What about you?
I'm currently watching. I just watched all the Cars movies. But I love how you guys picked like really wholesome, just really nice pieces of media. I'm like, Cars.
That's wholesome.
That's wholesome.
It is a wholesome Pixar movie. Yeah, it is a wholesome movie. But yeah, I watched all of them in one day. And I'm like, I love Lightning McQueen. I love Doc Hudson. Also, they became spies at one point. I have like no good interesting analysis of this. I just think it's fun. But yeah, that's what I've been doing so far.
Love that for you. Love that.
Thank you.
Well, with that out of the way, last week we talked all about our academic books from our lectures. This week we'll be talking about the unconventional means of consuming literature. And coming in with our first question for the pod comes from Nicola on Instagram. Is fanfic considered literature?
You know what, Nicola? That's a great question. Thank you for that. Mm-hmm. And I mean, if it's written word, it's literature, baby. Like,
absolutely.
It still is engaging your imagination. It's still firing those neurons in your brain the same way they would with like Hemingway or any of those other boring guys. So it's absolutely literature. So yeah, I think that fan fiction has a bad rep and we need to get over it.
Absolutely. In my opinion, we need a fanfic course in the English department.
Yes.
That would be they want courses to bring in people. That will bring in people.
Absolutely.
That will bring in all the book girlies.
Yeah. If I had that back in my undergrad days, I would have thrived.
Absolutely. Now, with fanfic, do we have a favorite fandom? Our favorite fanfic comes from? I can go first.
Yeah, oh, please
first.
Do. Please do.
I love the Cruel Prince series. Mm. I love reading Jude and Cardin fan fiction.
Yes.
Especially when they mention his tail.
Yes. Oh, I'm a big old Cardin tail, not apologist even, fan. I love his tail.
Yeah. Yeah. For all you haters out there who go, ew, tails, I nod at you in disgust.
Yeah, like, if you're going to be reading something about inhuman romance, like the main lead is inhuman, he's going to be inhuman. Like, I don't know what you want.
It's also good for balance.
Yeah.
Exactly. Like,
people forget about that. It's not just aesthetics, it's balance.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I'll say mine. I think I've read like 3 fan fictions in my life, so not many. And the one that I've read that I've loved was from Harry Potter. It was all the young dudes, the Marauders.
So, yeah,
that was a good one. I read it in like 3 days, and it's longer than I think 3 of the books combined.
Yeah, those fanfic writers, they do be writing.
It's incredible. It's incredible.
Yeah, mine isn't book related. Like, my fandom's not from a book, because I often find I'm very satisfied with how books end and I don't need more. Mine more come from like visual media. Like, when I was in high school, I weirdly read a lot of like Batman fan fiction, like The Dark Knight. Like, I had like a big old hyper fixation on like Heath Ledger's Joker for some reason. I was like, oh, he's so charming when he blows people up. And then Star Wars came out in 2015, and I was like, my goodness, Adam Driver looks so good in black. What if him and Rey smooched a bit? And like, I get it, Reylo has, you know, some toxic tendencies, but it's fanfic, baby. We can just write that out.
Exactly.
So I'd probably say The Dark Knight and Star Wars were probably the fandoms I've been involved in most.
Yeah, building on that, for Star Wars, Leia and Han Solo fan fiction, also my favorite.
Interesting.
Yeah, there's also a lot more of it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Interesting. I don't know anything about this, but I do know one thing. Isn't the Love Hypothesis originally a Reylo fan fiction?
Yes. In fact, there's actually quite a few Reylo fan fictions that have now gone into like traditional publishing. Like, you can like look up a list and there's like a bunch of them. And Allie Hazelwood kind of started it, but after her success, more and more people started publishing their Reylo fanfiction. Like, The Hurricane Wars that came out like 2 years ago is also Reylo fanfiction.
Interesting. I know like a couple of the books that I wouldn't say grew up reading, but when I was a teenager, I read. I remember finding out like a year ago that a bunch of them used to like came from fan fiction, namely the stuff by Cassandra Clare that I read. But
yeah, that was, I believe, Draco Malfoy and Ginny Weasley fan fiction originally. But yeah, it's like becoming more and more common that people are basically going through and editing their fan fiction and turning it into original work. Like, a very, very famous Dramione fan fiction called Manacled is going to be published traditionally called Alchemized, and it's coming out this year, and all the Dramione girlies are going crazy.
Good for them. Things are good for the Harry Potter fan fiction.
Oh yeah, the Harry Potter fandom is still being fed. We don't like J.K. Rowling, but they are still being fed within their own fandom, which is actually really nice to see.
Yeah, for sure. So we're talking about traditional publishing and the legitimization of fanfiction right now. What other ways have you seen that happening so far?
I mean, back in like the 90s or so, scholars started writing about fanfiction and fandom and fan conventions. Like, one of the biggest, like, OG fandoms was Star Trek, and a lot of people shipped. For those who don't know, ship means they want them in a relationship together. Kirk and Spock. It was called Spurk. And before the internet, there were dedicated fans who would publish and release, like, fanzines with fan fiction, fan art, and so you would have like physical copies of this, and then people would go to conventions and get their hands on them. And so already then, scholars were starting to pay attention. Like, Henry Jenkins, who is a big scholar of like convergence theory, he talked about how fan fiction and like fandom engagement is like transformative and really interesting in terms of how audiences engage with the things that they are consuming. Like, for so long, in reception theory, they just sort of thought that audiences took in the story, and then like when they left the theater or they turned off their TV, it was just gone. But it showed that people are engaging with it outside of, you know, the viewing experience, but also outside of the canon. Like, a lot of fan fiction are like fix, where maybe they weren't satisfied by the ending of a book or a show, and so they decide to rewrite it themselves. Or maybe they wanted these two dudes to be together when they clearly had sexual chemistry, but the producers were too cowardly to let it happen. So again, a fix it. So, I mean, not to toot my own horn, but you can actually read online a article that I wrote about like the power of like queer people and women within fandoms, especially in the Avengers fandom. My argument was basically that although men still seem to have this sort of like, you know, primacy on the canon information, they may know more about like comic number 860 and how this person got this power then. But women and queer folk are the ones who are actually transforming the fandom. They care less about the canon and more about how they can change things to better suit their needs or change things to include more women, more queer folk, more issues about race and such. And so it's really like an amazing thing, both community-wise and scholarship-wise, that queer people and women have this like transformative instinct when it comes to the media that they are consuming.
Yeah.
Do you want to plug the article? Say the title.
Oh, I don't remember what it's called.
Oh, no.
I think it's called, oh, I know what it's called. It's called Don't Like, Don't Read. So just look up Don't Like, Don't Read by Allison Koopman, and you should see the article come online. Maybe I can find the link later.
No, that's so cool.
Yeah, we can absolutely link that in our
Instagram.
Thank you.
I'd appreciate that.
Yeah, so like building off of what Allie said is for my fourth year directed study in cultural studies last semester, I looked at like everything within Star Wars, and I love the fandom, but I got sick of it by the end of that class. And so the only way to like, you know, finish and like write my final paper was to talk about fan fiction. And all the ways that, like, me and my professor talked about the ways that we disliked the fandom and the ways that, like, resistance could come out of the way that we don't like some of the aspects. And so my final paper was looking at the ship of Finn and Poe and how they were so gay.
So
when
gay.
I mean so gay, gay is capitalized.
Yeah.
They're so gay. They love each other. I will die on this hill.
Me too.
I'm hoping to get it published. But, like, it's just researching fanfic and fanfiction studies. It's just another way to, like, legitimize it as literature and get more people to take it seriously and not, like, make fun of girls reading it and kicking their feet in their bedroom.
Yeah, that's rad. Good for you. Yeah.
Very cool. I have nothing to add. You guys said a lot. I also, like I said before, I don't know anything about this.
That's okay. We're getting degrees in popular culture.
Like I said last week, I look at old dead white men,
yes.
Which is not popular culture, believe it or not.
Yeah.
Although for me it is.
I mean, I'm sure someone out there has written like Hemingway fan fiction. Like,
oh, surely.
For sure.
Like if you can think of it, it
Oscar
exists.
Wilde.
Yeah. Like yeah. I'm sure like someone out there is like shipping Oscar Wilde with Hemingway, and you know what? Good for them.
Yeah.
There's probably like a Stalin ex Lenin out there.
Yes.
There's the Pierre Trudeau,
yes.
Castro.
Yes. Yeah, there's even like a big fandom of like countries. Like someone on Tumblr like years and years ago personified all the countries, and they all are like super twinks and they're all in love with each other and it's hilarious.
Are you talking about Hitalia?
Yes.
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 Yes. That I wasn't around for that, but mm-hmm. like I'm very big into anime, so
yeah.
I've seen like the remnants of it like sometimes, you know, across Twitter or sorry, X, and Instagram, I'll see just like a twinkified England.
Yeah.
Just and that always makes my day. It's always really funny.
Yeah, more twink content, I think.
More twink country content when talking about history.
Yes, yes. Make history interesting.
Be the change you want to see. Catch me doing that.
Well, anyways.
Sorry.
Moving on to book talk with at Minaxi's question. Do you think book talk is toxic or takes the joy out of reading?
That's interesting. I will have an answer. I have an answer. I used to think Book Talk was really good for getting teenagers kind of into reading, but I think it's watered down what reading and understanding books and novels and literature is to kind of just how spicy is it? Here are your favorite tropes. And I fear the publishing industry is starting to cater to that too much. Mm-hmm. So I think there is like, I think there's some good, but I do also think there's some toxicity, more in regards to like how things have been watered down rather than people, I guess. I don't exist on Book Talk as much anymore. I don't know how actually toxic people are.
Yeah, I feel like it's very much a way to get more money by like the Hunger Games and trying to get like the same like expectation of here's the X-Men of readers, maybe we can get a movie out of this. So like the Red Queen is very similar. Heads up for trivia on Wednesday.
Oh.
Anyways.
Should I study up?
Maybe. But like the Red Queen is very much like an altered version of the Hunger Games. So like when you're advertising it, it's like it's the Hunger Games meets the Selection meets blank meets that.
Yeah.
So like all the fandoms that have consumed that media before are like, oh, I'll pick that up. And then it just like it's a domino effect of like this reference, this is this book or whatever.
Yeah, that goes into like trying to play algorithms as well.
Yes.
Because like a lot of not just publishers but people, when they want to boost their video, they're gonna use like the buzzwords, the ones that you know everyone will like.
Romanticy.
Enemies to lovers.
They're spice guys. Super spicy.
Open door.
Yeah. And so like that goes into the watering down, I guess, where people are you know, they may not actually talk about the characters and they may not actually talk about the plot and they may not care about either of those things. Yeah. And they'll just be caring more about what words they can tie with the book to get their video boosted. And so they get the most views and they get the most engagement.
Yeah, I would say like I'm on the same wavelength as you both. I too am not on Book Talk. I made a choice long ago that I couldn't have another app on my phone, so I did not download TikTok. But you know, I watch it on Reels like an adult. So
same.
You know, I'm aware of what's going on Book Talk. I am aware of the different controversies that have come up, and I think that as a community, I have less concerns about it. Like what Evelyn has said. It's great to have a space for predominantly women and young women and really women of any age to be able to unabashedly enjoy what they enjoy. Like so often women and girls are made fun of for the things that they love. And so to have a space where they can just love their romanticies, have you know, conversations about like the ethics of what happens in like Sarah J. Maas books and stuff is great usually, but it can get toxic. And echoing Evelyn is that, yeah, I think it's gone to the point where books are no longer being written to create good stories with engaging characters. They're just a list of tropes. And I don't want to read books anymore that just are ticking off the tropes that are popular. Like what made things like The Cruel Prince so great was that, yeah, it was enemies to lovers, but it was also like a great political story, like really engaging protagonists, like Holly Black, always going to read Holly Black stuff. But now everything is just trying to be the new ACOTAR or trying to be the new and improved like Fourth Wing. And I can't remember the last time Book Talk actually influenced me to read a book, because I've been burned too many times where I'm like, this is just a list of tropes that they think that as a reader I'm going to enjoy. And so yeah, I think that Book Talk unfortunately is becoming a bit of an echo chamber, and readers are no longer being challenged to read new and engaging material, and I worry about what that's going to do to their brains. Like, I love that you love romanticism. I love that you love certain storylines and character types. But it's also good to like step out of it and like challenge yourself to explore new ideas and new plot lines. So, you know, maybe just like back off Book Talk. Like, take a little break.
I think that it can be seen in English classes where people go in and go, oh, yeah, this isn't on Book Talk. We're reading Pride and Prejudice, or we're reading Shakespeare, or even, like, the YA lit class. Like, the only, like, popular book, at least the last 2 years, was The Hate U Give, and that's not even on the reading list anymore. But the rest of the books aren't being pushed on the platform. So you go on going, oh, my God, it's going to be so cool. And then you look at the book list, and you're like, oh, I don't know all these award-winning books. Yeah. It's just this very interesting separation between the two.
Yeah, I also wanted to touch on, like, you know, spicy content. I think right now with all, like, the book banning in the U.S., there's a lot of people up in arms about, like, who is reading what and whether or not that's appropriate. And, like, the big thing is, like, whether or not, like, teenagers should be reading stuff like Sarah J. Maas. And the reality is that teens are going to consume content that has, like, explicit material regardless of whether or not we are physically giving them the copy of that book. You know, teen girls and teen boys start engaging with that kind of explicit material at the same time. But girls are at least engaging with material that, A, usually has safe, sane, and consensual sexual content in it between two people that love each other, and B, has a lot of emphasis on female pleasure. Like, if a 13-year-old is grabbing A Court of Thorns and Roses, at least the sexual stuff that they're going to be engaging with is geared toward women. It's about women expressing, like, you know, a desire for pleasure, a desire for sex and intimacy. So we can't control what they're consuming. So I don't think we need to be all up in arms about it. And for the older women too, like, it's just a fantasy. Like, it's not hurting anybody. It can sometimes, like Avalyn has said, like, you know, dilute things a little bit when a book is just about the spice. But honestly, as long as you are, you know, reading widely and not only consuming spice, I don't see any problem with it. Like, read all the spice you want. You might discover more things about yourself, and I think that's rad.
Yeah, I'm going to talk about history for a second.
Please do.
Like, this isn't a new thing. Like, in the 1950s, in Canada and the U.S., there was a lot of movements to start banning magazines, actually, yeah. And, like, the pulp novel. Because teenagers could go, they could afford those because they were super cheap, and parents and teachers or whoever, like, was authority in their lives had no control over what they were reading. And one that's always really interesting to me is Batman.
Yeah,
they were trying to ban Batman, one, because of, like, the violence and everything. They weren't a fan of the violence. But two, because they thought Batman and Robin could be perceived as gay lovers. this isn't new with, like, how people are trying to police sexuality and even with teens consuming it. It's not like all of a sudden we have teens that are, like, addicted to porn or anything like that.
No.
So, yeah, that's just my little history fun fact.
Yeah. They were banning, like, comic books during that time, like the horror comic books especially, because they had, like, gruesome violence and sometimes nudity. And, yeah, so it's not anything new. And if anything, it's just more proof that, like, society's backsliding again, that, you know, puritanicalism is winning once again, and it's making life really boring. So, yeah, I was going to say something else, but I forget.
That's okay. I think, like, everyone's, like, hitting it on the head. Even, like, on TikTok. I'm not on TikTok either, but on the reels, because, you know, we're
adults.
Grown adults.
We're adults.
I'm totally getting more reels about, like, here's young adult literature without sexual content in it, because that's better for that age group. And I think that thinking is really dangerous,
yeah,
because that's acting in a way of, like, censoring healthy relationships and, like, exploring sexuality and being with another person or even, like, by yourself.
Yeah.
So, like, the sad thing is a lot of the books on there I have, but that's not why I bought them, because they are good stories. But
yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, the whole, like, teenagers are interested in sex. And so, of course, the literature is going to reflect that. And if they can give teenagers an idea of what a healthy relationship and sex life looks like, then I love that for them.
Yeah, absolutely.
Oh, one more thing. And also, the fact is that it's not even just in books. Like, why isn't anyone, like, freaking out about, like, Riverdale? Riverdale had, like, Archie Andrews having an affair with, like, an adult woman when he was, like, 15. Yep. So it can't just be literature. Like, everything has that kind of stuff. Like, Euphoria. Like, why is literature and fan fiction and such always the one that's targeted?
Yeah, but even, like, in Riverdale where... who's this Jughead's girlfriend?
Betty,
where they're like in the cabin and yeah. Betty like becomes like a dominatrix yeah. and wears the black
dark Betty
wig. Yeah.
Yeah.
Like that's even showing
I know
transgressive sexuality in a way that's like not.
Yeah. Did you know conforming. There was a tickling ring at one point?
No.
Yeah, Riverdale got weird.
What's a what?
So a tickling ring, like they would have videos of teenagers being tickled and they would they would sell it.
Yeah. Oh my I want to meet the writers.
Me too.
Yep.
I just want to know what they were doing.
Well, segueing into another Instagram question, thank you to Denny, our man, for representing
our film guy.
Yes. So his question is, what's the best adaptation of a book you've seen on the big and small screen? What's the worst? I can go with the worst.
Please do.
Go for it.
I loved reading Sally Rooney's Conversation with a Friend. Mm-hmm. The adaptation is so bad and is very separate from the book because the majority of the book is like inside the main character's head. It's like in the book, you're like, oh my gosh, I am her. And then you go to the TV show and you're like, oh, she's kind of a whiny child. So that one's the worst for me.
Do you have a best?
A best? I haven't watched a lot of books. I mean, recently I think Wicked is really good. I'm going to be on my Wicked
books.
Train.
Yeah, watching books Whatever. Is my favorite way.
I actually,
I'm just an English major.
I go home after school and I watch books mm-hmm. all the time.
Yeah,
you read it with your eyeballs.
You make a good point. Okay.
Yeah, I mean, I too am a film girly, so I love this question. Thank you, Denny. Denny. Yes. Thank you, Denny. I would say the best adaptation is the HBO miniseries Sharp Objects. The Gillian Flynn book is actually kind of meh. It's not her best, but the series is incredible. Like the way that the show explores like traumatic memory, the way that it captures like the heat and stickiness of the small town that this woman is in, like the performances are incredible. Like it enhances the book. Like if an adaptation can bring to life a book and actually like do better, I think that's like the mark of the best kind of adaptation. So if you haven't watched that yet, please do. It's incredible. Trigger warning for like literally every kind of violence, but it's so beautiful, you won't regret it. And then a bad one. I'm trying to think. Can you come back to me for a bad
okay.
one?
I have a bad one. So I most adaptations I watch are anime from manga,
right?
Because I'm not big on films and movies and stuff. I don't know what it is.
It's okay.
But I do watch anime quite a bit. And so my worst adaptation is going to be Tokyo Ghoul. Mm. So it was originally a manga. It takes place obviously in Japan in Tokyo, and there are these things called ghouls, which are they're just cannibals.
Sure.
They're like vampires.
Yeah.
And the manga is incredible. There's like this, there's beautiful symbolism. The art is incredible. The characters, the way that they develop and progress is so good. And the plot is just absolutely perfect. A lot of times with animes, they take some creative liberties in terms of the plot. And a lot of times that doesn't work out. And just everything that was so good about the manga, everything that made it so incredible and like with the characters and with the symbolism and the themes, they just got rid of it. So like I've watched the anime, it's okay. I'm not gonna say it's bad,
mm-hmm.
but the manga is just genuinely probably one of the best I've ever read. I read it in grade 12. I told my friend it was like crack on paper. It was incredible. And then the anime just leaves so much to be desired. But yeah.
Yeah, fair enough. I thought of one. I would say for a bad adaptation is all the seasons after 4 in Game of Thrones. They made some real choices there, especially with Sansa. She'd been through enough, so I'm not sure why they made that change from the book. If you know, you know. And just like watching it, like binging it, I've never been a big Game of Thrones fan, but I was like, oh, maybe I'll give it another shot. In binging it, moving from 4 to 5, where they now went into like new territory where they were having to write new content because George R. R. Martin still hasn't finished the series, you can see the dip in quality. Like it's not good. Already the bad choices they had made when they were adapting the source material were like not great. And then when they had full creative control, it's so bad. Like no wonder George R. R. Martin hasn't finished. He's too afraid that he'll make the same mistakes.
My dad would agree with you.
Yeah.
And I know my dad listens to this because apparently my parents listen to this.
Yay,
but
shout out to Evelyn's dad.
Yes, go Scott.
Scott.
But yeah, he would 100% agree with you because he's had this conversation with me and I've never watched Game of Thrones. And
you don't
he's
need
like,
to.
That's what he said. He's like, don't do it. You're setting yourself up for disappointment.
Yeah. Yeah. Don't. You don't need to.
Yeah.
Damn. For me, the best, I don't know. I really watch a lot of adaptations, but something I'm looking forward to is for Dr. Bell's grad class that me and Evelyn are in. You get to read Brother.
Mm.
And I saw the trailer of Brother come out. I read the book in high school, and I actually surprisingly liked it and didn't hate it. So I'm excited to see how that book translates on screen, especially because it's a Canadian book set in Scarborough.
Yeah,
it'll be interesting to see how they represent life in Ontario.
Yeah. I've been meaning to watch that one too. I was also in that class during my first year and I kept meaning to watch the movie, so you have to tell me how it is.
Yeah, absolutely.
100%. I may not actually watch it. I don't know.
Moving on to our last but not least Instagram question comes from Jenna. A book you dislike that everyone loves and vice versa.
I hate The Atlas Six.
Yes.
Let's hear it.
Yes.
It's like everyone says it's so good. They're like, it's the new Secret History.
Ew.
Sorry, I love the Secret History.
Oh, I'm in bed. No.
Sorry, my bad. But they're like, it's the new Secret History. No, it's not. There's no plot.
Yeah.
The characters aren't as interesting as you think they are.
No.
They're not doing anything, and they all just hate each other.
Yeah.
And the tension isn't even, like, good tension.
No.
They don't, like, sort through it at all.
No.
And it's just, everyone was like, it's so good. It's so good. Dark Academia, shut up.
Yeah, I mean, I agree with everything, and I want to be able to add more, but I literally couldn't tell you anymore because nothing happens in the book. Like, there's so little development, both in terms of character development, but also, like, the skills that they're supposed to be developing. I thought we were going to have, like, montages of the skills and magic they're developing, but we didn't get any of that, and I thought it was going to be, like, found family and, like, all of them, like, falling in love with each other, and instead they all just hated each other.
It was terrible. Yeah. I couldn't, like, I was on vacation when I was reading it and I'm like, I have a limited supply of books. I have to finish this. It was that's the best the best description I can give.
I will say too though, I also didn't like the Secret History, and I know a lot of people love the Secret History. I just, again, I was like, oh, this is gonna be cute and, you know, cozy. It was not cute. It was not cozy. I didn't like any of the characters.
You thought it was gonna be cute and cozy going into it?
I think I read the wrong review. I think I didn't realize that a lot of it was just them all hating each other.
Yeah.
And I don't like books like that, I discovered. I want more love among my characters.
I do love the found family. There was just something about the Secret History. I loved to hate how pretentious they all were.
Yeah. I think I also assumed that they were gonna discover magic and was like, why aren't they discovering magic? I thought this was supposed to be like that they're gonna learn the secret language and they're gonna learn like Greek magic, but apparently not. So it's just I just did not read the right review of it. Clearly
be the change you want to see and write that book.
I will write the fan fiction and then I'll get it traditionally published.
You should do that.
Yeah,
for me, I think, okay, I'm gonna do the vice versa part. A book that I love that I don't think a lot of people like or read? Is it V.E. Schwab's The Near Witch? No one?
The new one?
Nope. That's her first ever novel published.
I've never read that. I've read her other books.
So wonderful. There's witches. There's magic.
Ooh.
They're on the moors. So Ooh. It's like Daphne du Maurier's Jamaica Inn. Ooh. With actual magic, with actual romance, and actual, like, murder happening.
Wow.
And I love it.
I didn't even know that book existed.
Right?
I'm going to have to read that now. Because, like, I've told you how much I love V.E. Schwab.
I love... Guys, I'm going to plug her newsletter. Register and subscribe to V.E. Schwab's newsletter. It is so good.
Yeah.
Art.
I find her hit or miss. You know, sometimes she really gets it. Like, Addie LaRue, ugh, so good. The vibe's immaculate. But, you know, I read her most recent one, Gallant. And it was just took so long for anything to happen. I was like,
it was a very slow read.
Very slow read. And so I find that, like, you know, I have to go in knowing that either she'll really excite me or she'll disappoint me.
Yes. Yeah. I think the Near Witch is a good medium.
Okay.
It's not like Vicious where it's like comic book fast.
Right.
But it's not Gallant where you're like, nothing's happening.
Yeah. Fair. Okay, I'll check it out.
She's published a lot more than I thought.
She's done a ton.
Yeah. I just pulled up her Wikipedia and I'm like, oh, I haven't read most of these.
No, like the Darker Shade of Magic series.
I've read that.
Yeah.
I love the Darker Shade of Magic. Yeah. But I've read A Darker Shade of Magic. I've read what was the one we were reading at the same time?
Vicious.
Yeah, I've read Vicious. I haven't read the second one yet for that.
I have.
I know you have. It was really funny. We, like, 2 years ago in second year, I think, she posted on her Instagram story that she was reading Vicious. And I'm like, oh my gosh, I'm also reading that.
And our Goodreads, we were 5 pages apart.
Yeah.
It was scary.
Really cool.
That's like kismet. Beautiful.
I will say, Book Talk did influence me to read that one. So there is some redeeming for Book Talk, but also Book Talk influenced me to read the Atlas Six.
That's
yes. So another reason to hate Book Talk.
Yeah. I take my recommendations from BookTube, like select Instagram YouTubers.
Yeah.
I trust them.
That's the best way, I think.
Yeah.
Or just people.
Yeah.
That's true.
I mostly do people. I do what's like available on Libby, so I don't have to like buy new books all the time.
Yeah.
So, you know.
Support local.
Yeah.
Ooh, we love libraries.
Libraries.
Well, that takes us to the end of our second podcast. Thank you, Allie, for being our first guest.
Thank you, Allie.
With all the hiccups that came with it.
Oh, don't reveal. don't let them look behind the curtain.
No, there's no curtain.
But yes.
I definitely don't edit out all the awkward silences.
No, but thank you for having me. As someone who loves podcasts, I'm very thrilled to be in front of a microphone right now.
Yeah, absolutely.
Glad we could make your dreams come true.
Thank
and
you.
And we will see everyone in 2 weeks.
And if you want to participate in our podcast, every Monday we have a question box on our Instagram at ESAWU. So be a part of our podcast and submit a question, please.
Thank you.
Thank you.
All right. Bye.
Bye-bye.